We've been studying through the book of Matthew, and we're now in the 20th chapter. This is an interesting chapter because it picks up from the last statement of the Lord in the 19th chapter, and it gives us a flip aspect of what he is saying, but at the same time driving home the same point that he'd already established in the 19th chapter. We've been talking, or the Lord has been sharing with us, right through the 18th chapter and on, about relationships. And we went through the 18th chapter addressing God's perspective on that issue. And then came to chapter 19, and says he, when he'd finished talking and addressing the issue of relationship, there comes the Pharisees, and they get him going again, and he keeps on. Because our God is a strategist. When he had finished, he wasn't really finished. And sometimes we think God is finished doing something, and he's just warming up. And so here in the 20th chapter, he makes a very sharp turn that gets us thinking about what this is all about. And the point here is, even when you think that you've been wronged, don't get offended. Now, when we look at the passage, we might not see that right away because he makes another comment, but it's all in line with that particular idea. Even when you feel that you've been wronged, don't get offended. Stay with the deal that you made. In Matthew 20, he starts out, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder." He has an estate. Says, "which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. How the hell should I go about this? Okay. I'm going to read through and I'm going to start. Because there are so many levels that we need to strike at in this particular passage of scripture. And it would be best for me to read it all and then come and start building layer by layer on all the messages that the Lord is trying to communicate. Because this communication, he actually is already beginning to start the message about the end times, about how things are going to wrap up. He's starting it, but he's not giving us full blast what it is. And so let me go on. He says, verse 2, "And when he had agreed the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour," that would be about 9 a.m., "and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour," that'll be 12 noon, "and ninth hour," that's 3 p.m., "and did likewise. And about the 11th hour," that's 5 p.m., he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Notice the statement, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man had hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, or the foreman, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine ears and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I mean, what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. That's how we ended chapter 19. And in chapter 19, the message was the preference of others, that when you prefer, that God then will move you, you that chose to be last, God will move you and make you first. So that was that point. Now he starts out in chapter 20. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he had agreed, with the laborers for a penny a day. Now, remember that there were other laborers. Because he says to the people that were there at 5 p.m., how come you guys have not been getting involved all day? So they were there. So he agreed with the laborers. It's like he agreed with the group. I won't pay you a penny a day. Now, in his mind, he was going to hire all of these. Let's go back. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers. He went early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. He wants his laborers to work in his vineyard. He went out early to get them, and then he struck a deal. But in that deal, he took whoever that he wanted at that particular time. The plan is to have laborers working in his vineyard. The plan is for laborers to work in his vineyard. Hidden in that statement is the fact that that work could be work that could last for a week, 2 weeks, a month, whatever. He's hiring people that are going to work in his vineyard. But he comes back and he begins to grab more people, reducing the time period that the work was going to take. Are you with me? Okay. So the message within the message is what the Lord is going to say later on, that he was going to shorten the time by getting more laborers into the vineyard. Are you with me? So this, let's say the work is going to take this much. He picks up men that are going to work, and they're going to work and work and work, and it's going to take this much. But now he comes and starts grabbing more people, and by so doing, reducing the amount of time that the work was going to be done and still accomplish what was supposed to be done at this time, period. You get the point? So what we are going to see in this move of God that God is putting together is a massive move of people that are going to be harvesters. People are going to come and work in the vineyard of the Lord. And God is going to pick up all kinds of people. All kinds of people are going to be brought into the vineyard. Some people that we might think, I don't know why this person is in the ministry, why this person is doing so and so and whatever. But God is going to do a quick work. And one of the things he said for us to pray about is to pray that the Lord of the harvest will bring forth laborers into his harvest. Amen? Now, the agreement is I'm going to pay you a day's wage. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a what? Penny a day. So in that statement, a penny a day, we're getting the idea. They're going to work for so long, and I'll pay you a penny a day. Tomorrow I pay you a penny a day. The next day I'll pay you a penny a day. The next day I'll pay you a penny a day. So if it takes 30 days, I'll pay you 30 pennies. But a penny a day. Now comes these guys, because that is the length of time this is supposed to take. But there is going to be a shortening of time. And now I'm still going to pay you a penny a day. But I'm going to finish up a penny a day, a penny a day. I'm still going to pay whatever it is I need to pay. I have a set amount that I'm going to pay to accomplish what needs to be accomplished here. So when I finish that work in 10 days or 30 days, I'm going to pay what I have set my mind to pay. God is going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish, but everybody involved in the work of the harvest are going to get paid what he has already decided, what we've agreed to be paid. He goes on and says, he went out about the third hour, that is 9 a.m., and saw others idle in the marketplace. Nobody hired them. So he gets them. And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. So this said, he's not saying, I'm going to pay you. He says, I'm going to give you. First said, I'm going to pay you what we agreed on. Next said, I'm going to give you. And they went. In other words, these people made no deal other than relied on what the good man is going to do. And that tells me something. Be careful trying to make deals with God based on what you think you're worth. Because when you start dealing with God based on this is what I deserve, he will agree with you with whatever it is that you say. And he will deal with you based on the agreement you made. Now, these others trusted him to make the decision of what was going to be fair. He says, and they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth hour, that's meaning noon, the noon hour, and ninth hour, 3 p.m., and did likewise. Whatever I'm going to give you. The rest of these guys are, trust me to give you the right amount. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, doing nothing, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Why are you standing here all day long idle? Hidden in that statement is an interesting idea in the kingdom of God. We first see a hint of it in John 5, where he goes in and there's a man there that's been paralyzed for 38 years, waiting for the troubling of the water. And for 38 years, he's missed his opportunity. Jesus comes, ministers to him, he gets healed, there was no troubling of the water, and the man leaves with Jesus, and everybody else stayed there, not healed. Because they did not clue in to the fact that this man got healed without the troubling of the water, something's changed. Jesus said, the violent take it by force. Yeah? And the idea is, God, you are doing something. There's sometimes when you don't need to be so gentle and miss out on opportunities. He is busy grabbing people and saying, you come. And the others are waiting. The idea was, hey, boss, me too. I have a family that needs to eat. I want to work. Can I come? And he would have taken them at that time. So he comes to the guys at the 11 hour. Why are you still here, idle? Same John 5. The man is busy complaining. Nobody here. No. He said, just carry your bed and go. Just take your bed and go. The idea is this, that God is not going to leave anybody unengaged. He will do whatever it is that he needs to do to make sure that we get connected. Amen? That is his perspective. And for these people, he says to them, why stand ye here all the day idle? All the day. Meaning that they had been there. They didn't just come at 5 p.m. or at 4 p.m. after the last group left. They've been there all day. He's seen them there all day. All day. And the idea is that there comes a time when we say, you know what? I'm going to be part of this group. I'm going to be part of what God is doing right now. Now, anyhow, next perspective. Like I said, there are so many things he's communicating to us in this particular passage, and it's going to be expanded as we go on to the rest of the book. He says, they say unto him, because no man hath hired us. No man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, Meaning 6 o'clock, the beginning of the new day. The Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. Give them their hire. Give them what is due them, their pay, beginning from the last on to the first. Now, this is where it gets really complicated. Because he's trying to get a message across to us. Why is he starting from the last guys who just came? Why are they getting their wage first and the people at the beginning are not? Why is he not starting with these guys first? He starts with the people at the end who just worked for 1 hour and he gives them their penny, the day's wage, and I'm sure they're excited and they're celebrating. Wow, just for 1 hour? And we get a whole day's wage? Wow, this is amazing. They're excited. Next group, 3 o'clock. They get it. Oh. There's no complaint from the people at 3 o'clock, from the people at noon, 12 p.m., from the people at 9 a.m. Nobody's complaining. He said, I'm going to give you what's fair. Whatever it is I elect to give to you, that's what I'm going to give to you. The people at 9 a.m., the people at 12, the people at 3, the people at 5 recognize that what they've been given is more than what they deserved. I've been blessed beyond what I deserve. It doesn't matter whether I said at 9 o'clock or I said at 5. It's still more than I deserve. I got a generous man to be a blessing to me. Somebody favored me. Now comes the guys at 6 a.m. These are the guys he made the deal with. He says, but when the first came, they what? Supposed. They supposed. They presumed that they should have received more. In other words, they felt cheated. Somebody cheated us. We should get more than the rest of them. And reason they felt cheated is because they likewise received every man a penny. Why would he do that? Verse 11. When they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house. They murmured against them. Because they felt slighted, they felt wronged. They said, these last have wrought but 1 hour. They were comparing themselves with the people at the last hour. Why are they comparing themselves with the people at the last hour? Because the people at the last hour, I'm sure, were so excited. They are so awestruck at how they got so blessed that day, that the people at the feast were already drooling about what they were going to get. These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Do they have a complaint? Yeah. Do they have something to say? Of course. Does this sound fair? No. But the reality is, they had made a deal. He answered one of them. And that's an amazing thing about this. There are principles in the kingdom that we have not followed through in a lot of things that we do. There's a whole bunch of them complaining. But the Bible says, but he answered one of them. Picked out one person, one of them, and said, watch this word, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Now, the thing that we many times will want to do is try to address the entire group of murmurers. He doesn't do that. He addresses one person. One person. Now, what's the wisdom in addressing one person? Because in addressing that one person, and that person is settled down and saying, you know what, that's the deal I made, that person becomes a voice that addresses the other people and says, guys, that's the deal we made. We decided with him that we're going to get paid one penny. He did that. It is his money. I found out that the enemy can try to create a lot of issues with people when it comes on to monetary stuff and dealings. I've had situations where people around me may say, you know, this person just did you wrong. They should have done this and they should have done that. They should have given this. They should have not done this, and so on and so forth. And strangely enough, I come from another perspective and say, well, they don't owe me anything. No, but they should have. No, they don't owe me anything. It's their money. They decide what they're going to do with their money. They decide what they're going to do with their stuff. So why am I getting upset because they did not do this? I trust the Lord to address my situation and correct it. And I found out that in doing so, I don't create room for bitterness. Because they're not responsible for me. The Lord is responsible for me. For example, let's say, for example, as a pastor, I have a wage or an income that's supposed to come to me, and I don't get it. Now, I can become bitter and say, well, this, or I can say, you know what? Nobody's responsible for me. The Lord is. It's the Lord who called me. They were not there when God called me. So if I'm working for the Lord, what they do is immaterial. I'll keep on doing what I committed to do unto the Lord and not get myself bitter or angry and upset and unforgiven because they did not. Who's the they? Who's the they? Who am I looking at to honor that commitment? If I got hired by a bunch of people, then I have a reason to say, well, you owe me this. But if I believe that the Lord hired me, then it's the Lord that's ultimately responsible for my upkeep. So that's the person I talk to. I don't look at Johnny or Jamie or Peter or Mark or Elizabeth. You know, if you only did this, it's your money. You and God deal with that. Ananias, why you come here lying to the Holy Spirit? While you had that money, wasn't it yours? So if you're going to come here, why don't you just tell me exactly what you're going to do? Why are you telling me this and the real truth is that? You're not lying to me, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. And that is gone. The same thing is true as we relate with the Lord, that we understand who it is that we're dealing with. And not allow ourselves to come into a state of offense. For them, they needed to understand, hey, we made a deal with this man, and he kept to his deal. The deal he made with everybody else is, I'm going to give you whatever it is I'm going to give to you. And he honored that. So what does he say? He says, they murmured against the good man. They murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these lads have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. I did you no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine ears and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. That's my decision. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Yeah. It's my money. I made a deal with you. Shouldn't I do whatever it is that I want to do with what I have? You have no say on this one. You had a say when you agreed for a penny a day. That's the deal. And the test that we need to grasp from that is this, that we need to be very careful about the deals that we make. Trust God to make the right decision. David was in a tight spot, and God gave him three choices. And David says, you know what? The decision, the choice I make is to fall into the hands of God rather than man, because I don't know where man is going to stop. But God, I trust you to make the right decision. And every day, when we talk to God, we need to talk to God in terms of, God, make the right decision for me. Because then you don't create a situation where you are presuming anything. Well, God is going to do this. And well, God is going to do that because I did this or because of this. Look at all the suffering I've gone through because of you, God. You know, I deserve more than that person over there. You deserve what? Isn't I evil because I am good? He keeps on stressing that. I am good. Now your eye been evil because I am good. Because you think I've been unfair to you. What's the deal that you made? I'm honoring the deal. So he says, so the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now, as we wrap up this particular thought, this is what we need to finalize. It's a very important lesson. Even when you think you have been wrong, as this man thought, don't embrace offense. Chapter 19 talks about us preferring others. They deserve to be honored. Philippians chapter 2 tells us about preferring the other. Well, I'm glad for you that you worked for an hour and you got a day's wage. That's exciting. That's a real blessing. I wonder if their attitude were different if the master would have come and said, you know what? Yeah, extra for you guys. I wonder what would have happened. My complaining, your complaining can shut things down and make things so stringent that there is no moving on the side of God to do anything extra for you. I want God to have the leeway to do more than I expect, because I celebrate with thanksgiving what he has already given to me. Now, having said all of that, we must appreciate where these guys are coming from. What the Lord is talking about here is not very easy. This is not you know, apple pie, easy. But this is a situation that draws on a higher level in our relationship with God and with each other that causes us to just be thankful anyhow. This is the deal that I made, and I thank God I can honor my word. I trust God to do the right thing by me, not based on my comparing myself with somebody else. God doesn't call us to compare ourselves with other people. Let me wrap up with this. I'm sure you've heard me tell the story of how I was so upset with God many years ago. And it was just about Christmas. I had not received any wage. Support was very meager. And here I'm looking at my children. I don't have anything to give to them for Christmas. And I can still see myself right there. It's a black couch. I'm on my knees. And for about an hour, I complained. I complained bitterly. I told God, I said, God, you're a bad businessman, I said. You're a bad businessman. Here I am serving you. I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I have nothing. There's a pastor over there. As I'm pointing fingers at different people, I say, that guy, I know he does not pray. He has a big church and he has this and he has that and he has this. That one, I don't know what he's even preaching. And he has this and he has that. And here I am. I am doing everything. I am faithful and I don't have any money. You're a bad God. You're a bad businessman and you're bad. I don't know how I got out of that then, because if I were God, I would have killed me that day. Says about 30 minutes in of complaining and complaining about every possible thing I could find. Are you done yet? No, I'm not done yet, I said. I went at it. So finally, he asked me again, are you done yet? I said, no, I'm not done, but what do you have to say? He said, so you say I'm a bad God. I said, that's what I said. I'm a bad businessman. I said, that's exactly what I said. Because I've not provided for you. You don't have a wage. I said, that's exactly what I said. He said to me, he said, every Sunday, you have people in your house for dinner after church service? I said, yeah. About how many people? I said, 12, 15, sometimes up to 20 people. What do you give to them when they come to your house to eat? I said, chicken, beef. Okay. Do you remember going to the store this year and buying meat or chicken? Oh, first of all, I jumped one step. He said, where do you get this meat and fish from? I said, from the freezer downstairs. Oh, from the freezer downstairs. I said, okay. Do you remember any time? Remember, this is December now. He said, do you remember going to the store to buy meat or chicken or fish or any such thing this year? And I stopped. And I thought, no. No. Oh, but you get the chicken and the beef from the freezer downstairs? I said, yeah. So you said I'm a bad God, huh? While I was busy taking meat out of my freezer, God was busy filling it up. As I was taking it out, he was filling it up. As I was taking it out, he was filling it up. As I was taking it out, he was filling it up. The freezer was full. Then he asked me, he said, how do you go around in the town? I said, I drive. In a car? I said, yeah. How many cars have you given away this year? Three, four cars? So I'm a bad God. I was measuring my source based on my physical pay. God had been doing miracles. He didn't come broadcasting it. Look, I filled your... He knew I was going to spend an hour complaining at the beginning of the year. He knew 10 years before that. He knew before the foundations of the earth that I was going to be on that, by that couch, on my knees, complaining and talking about how bad he was because I did not get a wage. He knew it. And he had been provided. He's taking care of it. And you know what? I've not had an empty freezer. And I think we have three or four freezers. I've not had an empty freezer all those years. I don't know if the same miracle is still happening. I just know that when I need something, I got it. And I empty my freezer, all of the freezers, once every quarter at least. Empty. Give it all, everything inside, gone. 3 weeks later, I go in there, it's full again. Because God is still God. So I came to the conclusion then, and thank God for that grace, that's not based on how much checks, but how much grace. That the grace of God is sufficient. Yeah, thank God for the checks. But what if you don't have it? What then? What if there is an Antichrist system and the mark of the beast and you cannot buy or sell without having the mark? What then? If you've got yourself locked up in the mindset that the only place I can get my food from is to go to that store and pay cash, what then? How long is it going to take before you say, put the mark there, right there? You want it here in the forehead? Put it there too. Yeah, I'm ready. How long? Because your mind has been settled to take care of things your way. We've got to make that switch and say, God, I am trusting you to deal with me based on your provision. What's in your heart, do for me. Bless me the way that you can bless me. And at that point, it really doesn't matter anymore about how much I get every week or every 2 weeks or every month or every year, because God is no longer tied down to how much you decided on, but on how good he is. Because he kept on saying, the good man. The good man. So then my prayer point then is, God, you are the good man. Do that which is good unto me according to your word. Provide for me. Do for me what you know is right. I receive from you what is right. And he will do it. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for your plans and your purposes concerning us. There is something you want to do in us and with us in this last of the last days that is beyond what natural man can do. So we rely completely on you. We rely completely on your word. We rely completely on the truth and the integrity of your person. Lord, may we be the chosen, not just the called, but the chosen. Those that came not relying on the deal that they have made, but relying on the grace and the goodness that comes forth from you, were made first. Lord, we want to be that kind that relies completely on your grace, on your goodness, on your integrity, on your fairness, on your loving kindness, and your tender mercies. We rely, O God, on who you are to minister to us in every way possible. Do it for us now. For in your grace, we find fullness of life. Thank you, Lord, for the sufficiency that is in you. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.